at this time, take just a moment and turn to the 6th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Well, Betty and I are sure glad to be home. We missed all of you. I hope all of you know how much we truly love the group here at Courthouse. But I have to tell you, and you Kentuckians, you know this, what sweet folks they have there. The brethren in Tompkinsville, do you know they're 6 minutes from the Tennessee line? And they're still great people. They just treated us so good. I told them Betty fell for them in a big way. But the truth of the matter is that in every way, whether it was a matter of having us for meals or more often just saying, Brother Tope, we've really benefited from our study of the scriptures this evening. I would like to tell you that there were, many baptisms. There were no baptisms. Most of the congregation are already Christians. There are a few young people, as it is in almost any group. There were some husbands, one or two, that have not yet become Christians, maybe one or two of the wives recently married. They have not obeyed the gospel yet. The seed was sown, as they said. I thank you for sharing us with our brethren in Kentucky. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I want to read just one verse from Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and that verse being verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I want the lesson to be encouraging this morning. I want you to feel as a member of this congregation whenever you leave. Courthouse is on the right path. We are doing the right things. We want to do more and more. We want to encourage as many people as we can, our friends, our neighbors, members of our family. I don't want you to give up on them. I know it becomes discouraging. But let's just reach out into the community here in Chesterfield and Henrico and maybe Prince George, wherever we are, and let's do as much as we can. We are doing what God tells us to do. But now, in contrast to that, in contrast to what I have just said and what I believe with my heart, The nation to which Jeremiah is writing, they're in terrible conditions. Jeremiah, if you've studied your Bible history and you have this right, Jeremiah is writing his letter in the very last days of Judah, the nation. Over 100 years before this time, we are taught, the northern kingdom of Israel, those we generally say, those 10 tribes, they had already been swept away into terrible Assyrian captivity. They never again would return as a nation. There would be those scattered people of those scattered 10 tribes that would come back to the land of Israel, that promised land, but never again as a nation would they return. Judah, on the other hand, has followed the evil pathways that Israel had followed. They had committed every abomination. I can't remember when would have been the last time you would have studied the book of Jeremiah. It is a sad book in some ways, but oh, it is so full of instruction. Listen to verse 15 here in the 6th chapter. Jeremiah says of this evil nation, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord." And the Lord would punish them. You read verses 22 and 23. A cruel people, a cruel nation. This time not Assyria. It is going to be the Babylonian herds under Nebuzaradan, under King Nebuchadnezzar, that is going to sweep down. And they are going to completely destroy this tribe of Judah. They will destroy the temple. They will throw down every stone. Many women and children and others will lose their lives. And those who do not lose their lives are going to be taken away captive. Yes, captive again. Those years in Egypt, whenever they were enslaved, and now they had been set free. Now they were returning again, going to a foreign land hundreds of miles away, being ripped up, torn up, away from all that was familiar to them. Can you put yourself in their place? Why would such a thing happen? Why would great punishment come upon them? They had forgotten God. Jehovah, in this beautiful text that we read, ask for the old paths where the good way is. And the surprise of surprises, they say, "We won't do it. We will not walk therein." Because Judah of that day had rejected God. And make no mistake about it, that's what they're doing. Whenever God says, "Ask for the old paths," they said, "No, no." Because they had rejected God. God rejected them. And do you know that's what happens to any people that rejects God? God rejects that nation. God rejects that people. Oh, how terrible. Two questions, if you will, keep in mind. What were the old paths? What are the old paths? And what application can we make from it today? All of Bible history, I love Bible history, all of Bible history is interesting to us, but you know the real value here. As we go, oh, we're going back hundreds of years, aren't we? As we go back over that period of time and we look at these terrible conditions of Judah, if we want any real benefit out of it other than knowledge, you and I have to ask ourselves, well, how does that apply to us today? What benefit, what lessons can we learn? Well, first of all, though, let's spend just a few minutes in talking about the old paths. obviously, whenever you talk about asking for the old path, you are talking about the way that they had walked in former days. You are asking about a good way when God was blessing them, when He brought them into that promised land that flowed with milk and honey, and they inherited all of those grand riches for themselves. Yes, for the old past. We go all the way back to Exodus 19 and Exodus 20. You don't have to turn there. But we go all the way back as far as the old paths. What were those old paths? Well, those were the instructions. Those were the laws that God had given to the nation through the hand of Moses. Through the hand of Moses. I did a little bit of arithmetic. I hope I got it right. That was almost 800 years before the time now that Jeremiah is speaking. Go back that far? The nation, a sideline. America is just a little over 200 years old, the United States. This nation now, we're talking about 800 years nearly of continual history, and they had forgotten the old past. Notice while you're looking at verse 16 that it says, ask for the old past where the good way is. Now, who wouldn't want to walk in the good way? They were not walking in the good way. They were walking in the bad way whenever they said, we will not walk in the old path. And then notice further here in verse 16, it is the good way because he says, then you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that what everybody wants? Isn't that what you want? Would that not be what these oppressed, troubled people of Judah would have wanted? What do you want? I want rest for my soul. And it would only be found if they would have the spiritual strength, if they would have the courage, instead of saying, no, that's not what we're going to do, if they would have said to Jeremiah, even then, I think even then at that last great day, at the very end of their history, you know, if they had stopped, if they had said to Jeremiah, you're right. You're right. We need to ask for the old ways. We need to go back to the commands of God and to all that God has taught us to do. They knew what the old paths were. But again, we say they refused and God rejected them. Now, what application? Well, men and women today, what have we got in our world today? What do we have, say, as far as religion is concerned? Well, to be perfectly honest, while there are some good things, people say there's good things in all religions. I'm not going to really quarrel about that. But do you know what we've got in religion? We've got every kind of confusion and mixed up idea that you can think about. Oh, you know that just talking to people at work. You say, what are you religiously? And they will say this or that. Well, how do you worship God? They'll say, well, we do this or that or the other thing. Well, how do your folks find salvation? Oh, well, this or that, you know. Or maybe somebody will say, well, you know, you Christians, I have to tell you this. One of the things that I could never successfully answer, though I tried my best, in all of the years I was in Africa, was whenever Buddhists and whenever Hindus would say to me, well, you Christians, you're all divided. You're all divided. Look at all of the denominations that have come to Africa. Well, I couldn't deny that. I couldn't deny that. But you know, the truth of the matter is that religion is all confused. And if you ask people which is the right way, they might go ahead and say, oh, our way is the right way. But in reality, sooner or later, folks will say, well, we sure don't have the answer to everything. Let me talk about what the real old paths are. Look just a moment over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 starts off in this marvelous way. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Well, those are the old paths. Those are the old paths. Do we need a new religion for all of the ailments of the world today? Is that what America really needs? With all of its religious confusion, with all of its deterioration, with all of our religious friends round about that we want to help, is that what is needed? Something new, something forward-looking? No, no. The lesson is exactly the same thing for us today that it was for Judah. Ask for the old paths. What do we need to do? Well, we don't need to go forward to the 22nd century. We need to go back to the first century. We need to go back to the days of Jesus. We need to listen to His teaching. We need to listen to His apostles, what they taught us about how to live the life of the Christian, how to be pleasing, if you will, how to follow Jesus. You know that's what people were doing in the first century. Who are you a follower of? Oh, people today, they will say, well, I'm a follower of Buddha. I'm a follower of Mohammed. I'm a follower of Mary Baker Eddy. I'm a follower of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. Oh, no, no. When you ask for the old paths, you say, that means we're going to be followers of Jesus. And that's what Jesus bids us do. Come unto me, Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Just like the old paths of the Old Testament. So it is today. Whenever we can convince parents and children and neighbors and school friends and people around us, come on back. Come on back. Don't look for something new. Come on back to the first century when that New Testament church was established. Do you know what it is? It's the good way. It's the good way. And you'll find rest to yourself. The good way? Well, if we go back to the old paths of the New Testament, what's one of the first things you will find? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. We know that's what everybody needs. We all need that. Forgiveness of sins. Oh, it's wonderful when one first becomes a Christian, and that's the good thing too. When one becomes a Christian, the Bible says that their sins are completely washed away. Hebrews 8, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. They're completely washed away. But we Christians, we need that forgiveness also. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The old paths. It's the good way to be added to the church that Jesus said He would build. Do you know how blessed you are, brother and sister? You're not a member of some human church. You're not a, you don't say Martin Luther started my church. You don't say John Wesley started my church. You say Jesus. You see, we're talking about the old paths. Jesus said, I'll build my church. You can become a part of it if you haven't already. But it's the good way that is going to give you rest. Living pure lives. Do you know every ailment here in the United States? I'm talking about spiritual ailments. They can be cured by our just going back and reading our Bible, doing what it says. I'd love this passage over in Titus, the second chapter. The grace of God, verse 11, Titus 2, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. You know that'd do away with every unscriptural divorce? Do you know that would do away with every sexual immorality? Do you know that it would do away with every crime? Our prisons are full. They're overflowing. But if we go back to the old paths, hatred, anger, outbursts of temper, covetousness, greed, hatred, all of those things disappear from our lives. It's the good way. Right up there at the top. Living so you can go to heaven. I don't want to have the Muslims' paradise. My aim is not to have a harem. My aim is not to have slave girls. My aim is not to have some kind of physical paradise. My aim is heaven. Your aim is heaven. Nothing else is going to satisfy, don't you see? And there's only one thing that offers that. That's the old paths. That's the old path. We're right. I want to say it again. We're right here at Courthouse because that's what we are teaching. How do you find these old paths? How do you go about it? Yeah, you've got to ask. You've got to seek. You've got to do something. What have you got to do? Well, everybody, if they want to find the old paths, they've got to study their Bible. In particular, you and I need to study our New Testament. We need to study about the purpose of Jesus coming to earth. We need to read his requirements, repent and be baptized. We need to follow what he tells us to do. And whenever we do, then it's not going to be a false religion of any kind. It won't be a confusing religion. It will be the religion that has come down from heaven that is going to give you rest unto your soul. Where is it going to lead us? It's going to lead us right to heaven. That's where it's going to lead us. You do what Jeremiah admonishes Judah of old to do. You return to the old paths. You set aside your human religion. That's not what we're asking you to do. People are wrong whenever they say, well, it doesn't matter what you are in the way of a denomination. Yeah, it does matter. Those aren't the old paths. Return to the New Testament church. Return to the New Testament truth. Brethren, we're right. Whenever we offer to mother and father, children, neighbors, school friends, work associates, we're right whenever we say to them, come on back, return to the old path. Very well, there may be one or more in the audience as you've listened to the lesson, and probably you've heard me teach and encourage before, but that's all we want you to do. That's our plea. I don't want you to do what Gene Tope says. I don't want you to do something that some group of people have got together and said, well, don't you think we ought to make this the church requirements? That's not it. I just want you to do what God tells you to do. Honor his Son so that God can honor you. Confess your faith. I know that every one of you that are here, I don't think I'm presuming. I know you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You need to tell others. Whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father in heaven. Determine that your life is going to conform to the life of the New Testament Christians. Follow Christ. Be baptized to wash away your sins. Be faithful. Do your part. Serve him in this life. He'll reward you in heaven. Brother Dick, lead us in that good song. Come, let's encourage one another in song.